Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is your brother Mikhail Ahmed Smith here from Qalam. If you enjoy listening to our podcast, please donate to Qalam by visiting supportqalam.com. We love being able to share this content for free, and your donation ensures that we will always be able to do so. Each podcast we produce has thousands of listeners, so the support you give to this community in this effort brings immense reward. You never know who will benefit from your donation. Assalamu alaikum.
Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina wa Mawlana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbak wa hubba man yuhibbuk wa hubba amalan yuqarribuna ila hubbak ya arhamar rahimin. Ameen. Jazakumullahu khair, everyone. Thank you for joining me for the Two Migrations Halakha series, inshallah ta'ala, where we go through a work done by Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahimahullah, an amazing scholar from our Muslim scholarship, alhamdulillah. And he's left amazing things for us to learn from, benefit from, and implement in our lives, alhamdulillah. So we've been doing this class for the last, like, mashallah, I think like 26 weeks, alhamdulillah, and we've been learning so much from it. And today, inshallah, we're going to go into an interesting aspect of spiritual growth. Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he talks about, in what we're going to cover today, he talks about the difference between a person whose nafs is already like obedient. Their nafs is like nafsul mutma'inna. And basically, the Quran teaches us there are two types of inner nafs or inner souls. The lowest type is called nafsul ammara bisu. And the Prophet explained that this is the type of inner self that is always urging us to evil, constantly urging us to evil. And the person follows that. It goes right after it. It follows after what the nafs wants, what the inner self wants. And then the Prophet said, but a level above that is the nafsul lawama, which is simply translated as the blaming soul. It's the inner self that it gets the desire for evil. It gets the desire to do things that don't please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it feels bad about it. And it's constantly at war with itself almost, trying to give preference to what is good. And so this is what is called nafsul lawama, right? It's mentioned in the Quran. And then you have nafsul mutma'inna. This is also mentioned in the last juz of the Quran. Nafsul mutma'inna is what is translated as the tranquil soul, the soul that is at peace with the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the soul that loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much that its inner desire and its inner inclination is only towards the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't even incline or desire for anything other than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. Now, one would think that, you know, it's better and the believer desires to reach the highest level, which is nafsul mutma'inna, this tranquil soul. Right? Like that should be the goal of everyone. But Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi says something really interesting. And I really want everyone to pay close attention to this. He says, and that's what we're going to talk about today. He says like, وَقَدْ اِخْتَلَفَ أَرْبَابَ السُّلُوكِ. He's like, the scholars of the heart have a difference of opinion. هُنَا فِي هَذِهِ الْمَسْأَلَةِ, regarding one issue. وَهِيَ أَيُّهُمَا أَفْضَلِ, which of the souls is better? Which of the inner selves is better? مَنْ لَهُ دَعِيَ وَشَهْوَةً وَهُوَ يَحْبِسُهَا لِلَّهِ وَلَا يَتِيُؤُهَا حُبًّا لَهُ وَحَيَاءً مِنْهُ وَخَوْفًا. He's like, which one is better? The soul or the person who has all of these desires inside is being pulled with so much desire and so much da'iyah, like being called to sin. وَهُوَ يَحْبِسْ, but this person, she or he, they hold themselves back for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يُتِئُهُ, and they don't obey that inner self. They don't obey that inner desire. Why? حُبًّا لَهُ, out of love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And وَحَيَاءً مِنْهُ, and out of haya before Allah, like shame before Allah. Like, how can Allah, the one who has blessed me with so many things, countless blessings, wa in ta'uddu ni'matullah la tusuha, countless blessings around me, how can I dare let Allah see me in a state of disobedience? Haya and min. Aw khawf. Khawf, fear. Fear that they lose the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear that they gain the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's nothing worse than losing the love of someone that you love, right? And that's the state of some people. So he says, on one hand, you have these people who have this deep desire for sin inside. They have this deep thing pushing them, calling them to sin inside, but they suppress it. They fight against it. They do everything possible to go against that. Why? For the sake of Allah. So is that person better, or man la da'iya lahu tanaza'ahu, the person whose nafs has already submitted, they don't have that urge for sin. Bal nafsuhu khariyatun min tilka al-dawa'i wa shahawat, his inner soul is free from all of those callings and those urges. Qad itma'annat ila rabbih, this soul has become tranquil. Oh, it's bleeding. You'll be okay. Okay, I'm doing my class right now. Can you go? Okay, go ahead. Lock the door, please. Lock the door. Okay, lock the door. Thank you. Jazakallah khair. All right, sorry about that. Okay, so the question he's asking, he's like, this second person, right? This second person is different because this person, قَدْ اِطْمَأَنَّتْ بِهِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ, this person, their soul has become at peace with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's at peace with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاشْتَغَلَتْ بِهِ عَنْ غَيْرِهِ, and he is so preoccupied, his heart is so absorbed with Allah, her heart is so connected to Allah that it blocks out everything else. وَامْتَلَأَتْ بِحُبِّهِ وَإِرَادَتِهِ, and this heart has now reached the point where it's filled with the love and the desires of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَيْسَ فِيهَا مَوْضِعٌ, there's no space left in this heart لِإِرَادَةِ غَيْرِهِ, for the desires of anything else. And that part of that includes, as we spoke about last week, the biggest غَيْر. Like in Arabic, there's a word called غَيْر. غَيْر means other, like غَيْرُ, other than Allah. But the biggest غَيْر that gets in the way, the biggest other that gets in the way of us and Allah is our own selves. Like, that's the biggest ghair that you have to conquer. That's the biggest ghair that you have to get over, is you, yourself. And so what he says here is that this heart has become so absorbed with Allah. This heart has become so focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it has no desire of ghair Allah. It has no desire of other than Allah. And it's filled no other love than the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here's the question. Here's the question that we're going to explore today, and probably next week as well. The question is, which one is a better state to be in? Which one is a better state? State number one is the person whose heart and nafs is filled with desires. It has shahawat desires. It has things that it wants to do. It has urges. The nafs is just like, you're at war, but you conquer it. Or the one who has reached this state where there's nothing in the heart except Allah. He's asking this question, which one is better? And so we're going to explore that today. And most likely it will continue into next week as well. So he says that some people, فَرَجَّحَتْ طَائِفَةُ الْأُولَى, some people have given preference. Well, we'll see, right? Some people are saying category two, but let's go deeper into it and let's see. He says, فَرَجَّحَتْ طَائِفَةُ الْأُولَى, طَائِفَةٌ الْأُولَى, وَقَالَتْ هَذَا يَدُلُّ عَلَى قُوَّةَ تَعَلُّقِهِ وَشِدَّةُ مُحَبَّتِهِ. He says that some people have said that the nafs that is struggling, filled with desires, filled with urges, filled with all of these passions, that is conquered and you fight against, And despite all that, you obey Allah. Some say that this one is better than the second. And here's the reason why. He says, وَقَالَ, they say, هَذَا يَدُلُّ عَلَى قُوَّةِ تَعَلُّقِهِ وَشِدَّةِ مُحَبَّتِهِ. He's like, the fact that this person conquered that desire, the fact that this person, you know, pushed that desire down is a sign that this one is better than the other one. And he says, فَهُوَ يُعَاسِي دَوَاءِ الطَّبِعِ وَالشَّهَوَاتِ. He's like, this person, this first group of people we're talking about, is better than the second because this person, يُعَاسِي دَوَاءِ الطَّبِعِ. He disobeys, and he uses the word asi, like asa, like sin or disobedience. He says this person is being disobedient to their own desire. So one of the things like that is a powerful element of our suluk and closeness to Allah is to learn how to disobey what the nafs wants. Like whatever the nafs wants, whatever the soul wants, the lower self wants, to learn how to just tell it, no, you can't have it. And in fact, whatever you tell me you want, I'm not going to give you that thing, because normally this lower self is telling me to do things that are not going to be the best thing for me. It loves ease. It loves comfort. It loves all of these things. And so the sooner I learn how to disobey that nafs, then the sooner I'm able to push myself to levels and places that I would not be able to reach had it not been for the difficulty that I placed myself or allowed myself to experience. And so we're talking about that first group. And that first group, again, let's recap. I know some people joined late, but let's recap real quick. The question we're asking is, who's better? The person filled with passion and desires, who fights against it and suppresses the desire, or the person who has cleaned their soul already and all they have is love for Allah in the heart, they've reached nafsul mutma'inna already, which one is better? So we've read right now so far that some people say the first group is better. Why? Because it shows how connected they are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It shows the extent of their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This person is disobeying the call inside and the desire and passions inside. وَيُقَهِرُهَا سُلْطَانُ مُحَبَّتِهِ. And the power of this person's love is suppressing the desire. وَإِرَادَتِهِ وَخَوْفِهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ. His will for Allah, the will of Allah, and his fear of Allah is the thing suppressing that inner desire. It's suppressing, it's pushing it down. وَهَذَا يَدِلُّ عَلَىٰ تَمَكُّنِهِ مِن نَفْسِهِ. This is a sign that the love of Allah has truly saturated the heart. When I read this, I was like, yo, this is beautiful, because look, you know, one time, yo, check, this is beautiful. One time a person came to the Prophet and he says, Ya Rasulullah, sometimes we get these thoughts, we get these crazy thoughts that we wouldn't even want to think, we would never even dare say. We don't even want to think about them. Let alone say it, we never even want to think these things, right? And the Prophet responded, he said, Dhaka sarihul iman, o kama qal, alayhi salatu wasalam. It's not the bad thought coming to your mind that is the clear faith. What's the clear faith is the fact that you detest that thought that came to your mind. That's a proof of the reality of the faith inside of your heart. And so here we see that same concept being reminded to us, where we're saying, look, that first group who is filled with passion and desires and feels those passion and desires within themselves, but is able to suppress that and push that down, that person seems to be better. So he goes forward. He says, وَتَمَكُّنِ حَالِهِ مَعَ اللَّهِ. And it shows how firm this person has become, their state has become with Allah. وَغَرَبَتِ الدَّاعِي الْحَقِّ عِنْدَهُ عَلَى دَاعِي الطَّبِي وَالنَّفْسِ. It shows that the caller to truth within the person has overpowered the caller to the desire and passion within the person. So as I said before, within the self, you have these two battling one another. One is calling us to righteousness and to be at peace with what Allah wants. And the other is desiring what the nafs, or the lower self, the animalistic side of our creation, desires. Because the human being, as we learn, is خَلَقْتُهُمْ مِنْ تِلِينَ, is created from dirt. So that lower element desires things from the earth and it wants it bad, right? It wants it bad. But we also have the other element within ourselves, which is the ruh. وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ ruh. Allah blew into us that soul, that spirit. And that soul and spirit wants to elevate. It wants to be with the divine. It wants to imitate certain elements of the divine, right? And therefore, there's this constant pull. There's the angelic pull, right? And then there's the animalistic pull within the human being that we're always struggling with one another. And so this is what he says here. He's like, look, when we see a person giving preference over the orders of Allah, when they have the desire to do wrong, that is a sign that this person's iman is strong and on point. MashaAllah. So he says, وَقَالُوا أَيْذَن. Now another proof. Remember, for those who joined late, I just want to just really quickly let you know what we're talking about, just so you can enjoy the discussion. Is Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi, he's like, look, there's two types of people. There are some people whose nafs, desires wrong, their passions are strong, but they suppress that for the sake of Allah. And there's other people whose nafs is already nafsul mutama'inna, their nafs is already elevated, their nafs doesn't even want to disobey Allah. The question is, which one is better? The first or the second? And so far we're seeing proofs that the first one is better. The first one is better. Then which one? Nafsul mutama'inna is already obedient to Allah. It doesn't even desire wrong. But the lower, the other one, the first one, is the one that desires evil. It has passion. It has all of these things inside and it suppresses it. Which one is better? So far we're looking at the proofs why the first one is better. Now listen to this. He says, وَأَيْذًا. Here's another reason why it's better. فَلَهُ مَزِيدْ فِي حَالِهِ وَإِمَانِهِ بِهَذِي الْإِثَارِ وَتَرْكِ مَعَ حُضُورِ دَعِيرْ فَيْلْ عِنْدَهُ وَمَزِيدْ. He's like, the first person fighting against the nafs, the first person has an elevated state, right, spiritually, because of their iman is elevated. Why? Because of their ability to give preference to Allah over that animalistic desire inside. What tarkma, and to leave out that desire, to leave that passion in spite of something pulling it towards the action. This is really interesting because look, if there's nothing pulling you towards something, then what's the virtue in not doing that thing? Right? If there's nothing pulling you, forcing you, saying, hey, why don't you do this? Then what's the virtue? You didn't show any special ability to overcome something that wasn't a fitna. Right? And so he says, وَمَزِيدْ مُجَاهِدَةٍ عَدُوِهِ الْبَاطِنْ وَنَفْسِ. This person has a higher level because they're fighting the inner enemy, and the caprice, the desire. كَمَا يَكُونُ لَهُ مَزِيدْ مَجَاهَةٍ. Just the same way that this person can be struggling with just the way the person struggling with an external enemy is better than someone not struggling with an external enemy. And now he goes forward. He says, وَأَيْذًا فَهَذَا مُبْتَلٍ. Now check this. He's like, the first person is also better from this perspective. The first person is better because this person is mubtalin. This person is in a calamity, in a hardship, in a baliyah. The word baliyah in Arabic means you're in a test, you're in a hardship, right? So he says, فَهَذَا مُبْتَلًا. This first person is in a test. بِهَذَا الدَّوَاءِ وَالْإِرَادَاتِ. Due to these desires and these passions. وَذَلِكَ مَعَافًا. But that person over there, that person's in afia, that person's in peace, that person is in tranquility. وَقَدَ جَرَّتْ سُنَّةَ اللَّهِ فِي الْمُؤْمِنِ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ أَنْ يُبْتَلِيهِمْ عَلَى حَسْبِ إِيمَانِهِمْ. And we know that the sunnah of Allah is that he tests people according to the level of their iman. So the fact that they're in this test against their own nafs is a sign that they have a higher level of iman because of the test that they're in. And that's deep, mashallah. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi, the philosophy of Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi is so profound, so profound. Why I found this so inspiring is because today we live in an age where there are so many things calling out and urging on the passions that are inside. And yeah, that's true too. We'll get there too. That's true too. Without a doubt, without a shadow of a doubt, somebody in Instagram, for those on Facebook and Twitter, some people were saying like, yeah, but sometimes you lose that battle. That's true too. We'll talk about that. But right now we're like, if you have those desires and you're able to conquer them and you're able to suppress them, then the fact that you're in the ibtila, you're in an ibtila. Ibtila means test or a calamity, is a sign of your the level of your iman. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he says, kama thabata an an-nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam annahu qala yubtala al-mar'u ala hasbi dinihi fa in kana fi dinihi salaba shuddida alayhi al-bala wa in kana fi dinihi riqa khuffifa anhu al-bala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in a hadith, he says, a person is going to be tested according to the level of their deen, their faith. And he says, the Prophet ﷺ continues, if the person's deen and faith has salaba, salaba means it's strong, it's firm. Shuddida alayhi al-bala, the hardships come. You know, and it makes sense. Listen, whenever you're doing anything for growth, if you don't keep up a level of difficulty, then the previous amount of exertion of energy will not produce growth. Let's say that again. Whenever you're trying to grow and do an activity that is for growth, if you maintain a certain level of intensity, that level will eventually not be enough for you to grow anymore. And so in order for you to grow more, you have to put more weight on the bar. And that is a sign of growth. And in fact, if you don't put more weight on the bar, you start to get bored. You're like, yo, this is whack. I'm not even growing anymore. I'm spending the same amount of time. And so growth is proportionate with the amount of resistance. Like resistance is a part of growth. And so the Prophet ﷺ is like, when your deen starts to get strong, the resistance raises. Raise the bar. That's like that. We say that all the time. Raise the bar. Raise the bar. Raise the bar. Why? Because this is too easy for me now. Okay, it's too easy. Keep it here. Nah, I need a challenge, yo. I need to grow. I need to become stronger. I need to become better. And so those same facts that we deal with in the gym or in athletics or in academics or whatever, those same things need to be translated into the spiritual realm. And the spiritual realm is, if it's too easy for you, you're not growing. And that's why tahajjud, listen, that's why salat tahajjud is so important for spiritual growth. And with the winter coming, nights are long. You could get tahajjud and still get like 7 hours of sleep, man. Like legit. But tahajjud is so important for spiritual growth because of the level of resistance that it puts against the self. I hope y'all feel me. This is beautiful, man. He says, "Wa in kana fi dinihi riqqa," but if your deen is soft, if your iman is soft, khuffifa anhu al-bala, the resistance is lowered. The hardships are lowered. So what he says here is, "Fa innal mu'min yubtala ala qadri ma yahmiluhu imanuhu." So what he's trying to say is, first we need to understand that concept. But let's move forward. Look what he says next. قالوا فالبلاء بمخالفة دواء النفس والتبعي من أشد البلاء. And one of the biggest bala, one of the biggest hardships that you can face is the inner self wanting something passionately and you trying to fight against that passion. In fact, the word hawa is the same word for wind, because the power of passion is just like the hurricane's winds when they blow. You have no way to stand up against that. It's so difficult. It's so, so difficult. It's amazing, amazing. So what are we saying here? SubhanAllah, man, amazing stuff. He says, فَالْبَلَاءُ بِمُخَالِفَةِ الدَّوَاءِ النَّفْسِ وَالطَّبْعِ مِنْ أَشَدِّ الْبَلَاءِ. If you want to look at one of the most intense difficulties and calamities or tests, it's the test of fighting the inner self when your passions have been like ignited and they're there, they're strong. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَسْبِرُ. Look what he says. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَسْبِرْ عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا صِدِّيقِينَ. صِدِّيقُونَ. Afwan. He's like, no one can be patient on against the inner self except a person with true siddiq, sincerity and truthfulness of faith. أَمَّا الْبَلَاءَ الَّذِي. But he's like, as for the calamities that come from outside of you, listen to this. As for the calamities from the outside, he says, yani al-marad wal-ju' wal-atash, all of those things, he's like a pious and a sinful person can have patience on those. Because especially when it's something that you have no control over. So he says, the external calamities, everyone can be patient with those. A sinner, a sinful person, or a righteous person. But when it comes to the inner desires, the inner passions, the inner shahawat, only a person with true iman can fight against that. That is a sign of faith. Now, here is where he's gonna drop something so deep on us. He says, look at the life of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. I'm telling you, you got to study Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi. His stuff is so profound. There are two scholars you have to study. Imam Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala and Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi rahimahullah ta'ala. Amazing material. It's just so refreshing to read. Really deep, profound, moving, intellectually stimulating at the same time as practical from our tradition, man. It's so beautiful. Look what he says. So we're talking about two types of calamities, right? We're talking about external calamities that come from people, from sickness, from losing a job, whatever you want to name it. We're talking about external calamities versus the inner calamity or difficulty of fighting against your own nafs, right? My nafs wants to do this. My nafs wants to do that, like fighting against the self. So which one is harder? He made a claim. He's like, clearly, the inner one is the sign of faith, because anybody could be patient with losing a job. Anyone can be patient with losing a loved one. Anyone can be patient with the external calamities. But the inner ones, only true people of faith can be patient there. So to prove this, he brings an example from the life of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. So he says, that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam went through two types of tests. The first test when he was young, that was the test of, I'm going to read it here. He says, what he had kana bain al-ibtila'i Yusuf al-Siddiq lamma fa'ala bihi ikhwatuhu min al-adha wa ilqa'i fil jubbi wa bay'ihi bay'ul 'abid. He's like, if you look at the test of Yusuf with what his brothers did to him and the hardship they caused him, throwing him into the well, selling him as a slave, separating him from his father. وَإِبْتِلَأُهُ. And that's one test. But then you compare that to the test when he was older, the test with Zulayka. He says, وَإِبْتِلَأِهِ بِمَرَاوَدَةِ الْمَرْأَةِ لَهُ وَهُوَ شَابٌ عَزْبٌ غَرِيبٌ بِمَنْزِلَةِ الْعَبْدِ لَهَا. He's like, or you compare that to the test of when he was being seduced by Zulayka when he was a young man, a bachelor, unmarried, gharib, a stranger in a strange land. Nobody knows him there. And he's like a slave of hers. He's like, if you compare what he ada'iyatun lahu fi dhalika, and she's asking him, she's seducing him. Farqun azim. He's like, there's a big difference between being thrown in a well and separated as a child from your father and the test of Yusuf when he's a grown young boy, bachelor in a strange land. This lady is like his master. She's beautiful. She's wealthy. She's calling him to this inappropriate act. Nobody's going to know. Look at these two types of tests. Which one is actually harder? Look what he says.
He's like, first of all, فَرْقٌ عَظِيمٌ لَا يَعْرِفُهُ إِلَّا مَنْ عَرْفَ مَرَاتِبِ الْبَلَاءِ. There's a huge difference between these two. There's a huge difference between these two types of calamities. He's like, first of all, فَإِنَّ الشَّبَابَ دَعْيَ لِلشَّهْوَةِ. First of all, he's a young man. And being young alone by itself is دَعْيَ إِلَى الشَّهْوَةِ. Does cause one to desires by itself. He says, وَالشَّابْ قَدَ يَسْتَحْيِ. But sometimes a young man, young woman will be shy. بَيْنَ أَهْلِهِ. When they're around people they know. وَمَعَارِفِهِ. And other family members. They won't fulfill their desires because everybody around here knows me. فَإِذَا صَارَ فِي دَارِ الْغَرْبَةِ. But when he's in a strange land, you know, subhanAllah, may Allah protect us. Astaghfirullah, may Allah protect us and give us righteous lives. But, you know, they have a saying, that what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Na'udhu billah. That's exactly what he's saying. That people have a habit of when they want to do something that they know is an odious act, they leave their own town. They go somewhere else to do it. And so that's what he's saying. He's like, Yusuf is young, alayhi salatu wassalam. He's young, so his desire for women is through the roof. Number two, he's not around anyone who knows him. He's in a strange land. He's in a strange land. Number three, he says, فَإِذَا كَانَ عَزْبًا. And he's a bachelor. He's not married. كَانَ أَشَدَّ. كَانَ أَشَدَّ. This even makes it even more passion in his desires. And then let's add on to that number four, وَإِذَا كَانَتِ الْمَرْأَ هِيَ طَالِبًا. And when the woman herself is the one calling him, it's even harder. وَإِذَا كَانَتْ جَمِيلَةً. When she's beautiful, كَانَ أَعْظَمْ. It's even harder. فَإِنْ كَانَتْ ذَاتَ مَنْسَبْ. Now, what if she's a person of authority? Wealth. Even more difficult. Now, look, he goes further. This is so profound. He says, فَإِنْ كَانَ فِي دَارِهَا. Now he's in her own home, under her command, so to speak. And then the door is locked. The door is locked. He's like, look, what it, subhanAllah. He's like, فَإِنْ كَانَ الرَّجُلِ. You know, he's like, فَإِنْ كَانَ الرَّجُلِ مَمْلُوكَهَا. If a person is owned by this woman, owned, right? وَهِيَ حَاكِمَةٌ. She tells him what to do. كَانَ أَبْلَغَ فِي دَعِي. This is the biggest fitna, biggest test that a person could possibly go through. And then he goes forward to explain. He's like, look, فَهَذَا الْإِبْتِلَى لَا يَصْبِرُ مَعَهُ إِلَّا مِثْلِ الْكَرِيمِ إِبْنْ كَرِيمِ إِبْنْ كَرِيمِ. He's like, this is a level of an imtihan, a test, a bala, a calamity, that only a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, Al-Kareem, the son of Kareem, the son of Kareem, salawatullah alayhim, because of his lineage. What he's trying to say, he says, وَلَا رَيْبَ أَنَّ هَذَا الْإِبْتِلَىٰ أَعْظَمْ مِنْ إِبْتِلَىٰ الْأَوَّلِ. He's like, it's undoubtedly clear that this second test that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam went through is way harder than the first test of external. Now, you know, someone posted in the chat like, oh, I know someone who an external test like broke them completely. I mean, the exceptions don't make the rule. Yes, it could happen. We're not trying to state this will happen with every person. There are exceptions to every rule, right? So we're not trying to say that it happens like this for everyone. We're trying to say, generally speaking, the external test is way easier than the internal test. بَلْ هُوَ مِنْ جِنْسِ إِبْتِلَاءِ الْخَلِيلِ. He's like, you know what? This is also just like the test of Ibrahim. بِذِبْحِ وَلَدِي بِذِبْحِ وَلَدِهِ. When he's ordered to slaughter his own son. Both of these tests, why are they so difficult? بِمُخَالِفَةِ الطَّبْعِ وَدَوَاعِ النَّفْسِ وَالشَّهْوَةِ. Because it was all about going against nature of the self and going against the nafs and going against the desire. SubhanAllah. وَحَذَا بِخِلَافِ الْبَلْوَ أَصَابَتْ ذُنُّونَ. And this is different from the test that happened to Jonah and so on and so forth.
So what is he highlighting here? Yo, this was, I hope you got what we're reading. This is so beautiful. He's trying to explain. I know some of y'all came on late and we're basically talking about, you know, some people fight fitna inside and they overpower it. Other people have reached a level where they don't feel no fitna. They're good. Their heart has reached this high level. Which one is better? And so far, we've been looking at all of these proofs that show that the one who has a deep passion and desire and urges, but fights those, they have the highest rank. They have a higher rank. And I think this is so relevant because nowadays, every other message I get is someone saying, I have a desire for such and such, but this thing is haram. And I'm like, join the club, yo. Join the club. Like, get in line. Take a ticket, man. Seriously, get a ticket, stand in line. What do I mean? Someone's like, oh, I have this desire, but it's haram. I don't think Islam has place for me. What? Wait, hold on. You have a desire that's inside of you, but it's haram. And you think that means you are out of the fold of Islam? Like, there's no room? I think all of us have desires, right? Some have different ones than others. And I'm not trying to make someone's desire sound light. I'm not trying to belittle someone's desire. But what I'm trying to say is that every single human being has desires. Every single Muslim is fighting a war within themselves to conquer the inner self. Take a ticket, man. Get a ticket. Get in line. Because we're all doing the same thing. We're all fighting the same nafs. We're all fighting the same inner desires inside. Right? And so I just think that's important to understand and realize that this is the place of imtihan. This is the world of fighting against the inner self. And the moment we realize that growth happens in fighting the inner self, that is when we elevate ourselves to the greatest goods of human existence. I was talking to another brother. I think he's watching the stream right now. I was talking to a brother the other day and he was like, yo, man, if you look at patience, forbearance, if you look at, tawadhu, humility, if you look at all of the greater goods, they only come with difficulty. That's the only way you can get them. That's the only way you can get it. It's like food is good, but you know, 15% body fat is also pretty good. 20% is also pretty good. Like, that's pretty cool. So it's about which goods you want to strive for. The higher goods are harder. The higher goods are harder. The lower goods are easy. Everyone goes after them. But in our society today, what we've done is we've put the nafs on a pedestal of the nafs, and the liberty of the nafs, liberty, absolute liberty and freedom of the nafs have become the idolatry of today. I'll say that again. Freedom and liberating the nafs and obeying. Remember what we learned here. Whatever you obey, that's your God. What you obey is your God. That's what you worship. And we live in a society that's like, you feel like doing it? Go ahead. Your family can't stop you. Your community can't stop you. Society can't stop you. Religion can't stop you. Who are they to tell you what you want to do? SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. So there's one more point here. Well, there's quite a few, but for the sake of time, I think we'll do one more, inshallah ta'ala. He says, again, is the one fighting against the nafs better or the one who's conquered those desires? They don't have those desires. He's like, وَأَيْذًا فَإِنَّ هَذَا هِيَ النُّكْتَ أَلَّتِي مِنْ أَجْلَهَا كَانَ صَالِحُ الْبَشَرِ أَفْضَلُ مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Check this. Are angels better or righteous believers better? Are angels better or righteous believers better? Well, from what we know and what he just said, righteous believers have a higher level
rank than the angels. And why is that though? Why? He says, لأن الملائكة عبادتهم بريئة من شوائب الدواعي النفس والشهوات البشرية. He's like, because the angels, all of their worship is free from any desires, lower nafs pulling them away. فَهِيَ صَادِرَةٌ عَنْ غَيْرِ مَعَارِضَةٍ وَلَا مَانِ وَلَا عَيْضٍ. It's happening with no impediment. There's nothing stopping it. There's no عارض, معارضة, ولا مانع, ولا عائق. There's nothing in the way. وَهِيَ كَالنَّفْسِ لِلْحَيِّ. Nafas. It's like breathing for a living person. Like the worship, I'm not belittling the ibadah of the angels. I'm just trying to put it in perspective. For the angels, ibadah is like breathing. But with me and you worship, فَمَعَ مَنَازَعَاتِ النَّفْسِ. Getting up for tahajjud, your nafs is literally like, get back in the bed. No, sit down, lay down, go to sleep. You're like, no, I got to do this. It's like there's a munazat inside of you. وَقَمْ الشَّهَوَاتِ. You have to uproot your desire in order to fast. You have to uproot your desire in order to lower your gaze. You have to uproot your desire. وَمُخَالِفَةِ الدَّوَاعِ الطَّبِعِ. And you have to go against what your natural self wants. فَكَانَتْ أَكْمَلْ. So therefore, the worship done, you know, it's like, you know, you go to visit somebody you love and you travel miles. You go through storms. You go through rain. You go through calamity after calamity to spend time with that person. Is that more righteous? Is that more valued? Or the person that, you know, had nothing in between you and them, easily just came and met you? Right? SubhanAllah. فَكَانَتْ وَلِهَذَا كَانَ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ عَلَى تَفْضِيلِهِمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ. That is why many scholars, they say that the righteous people have a higher level than the angels. All right, so alhamdulillah, let me look at one or two of these questions. People are out here dying, family members dying. They're not people of knowledge. How do they fight against their nafs when faced with so much hardship just in everyday life? So it's a tough question, but I think in general, we need to validate the feelings of pain by studying the life of the Prophet ﷺ, and we learn to validate pain. We learn to validate emotional pain. And what do I mean by validate? We need to accept pain in our families. We need to allow people to feel pain and not dismiss it, not to dismiss it. And that's part of the healing process. And we make it so much harder on people to get through hardships because we don't allow them to feel the pain of the hardship. What do I mean by that? The Prophet ﷺ's grandson had died in his hands, in his arms, in his arms. And the Prophet ﷺ was crying, crying, alayhi salatu wassalam. This is death, like you're talking about. His grandson dying in his arms. And when he's crying, he says to the companions, إِنَّ الْعَيْنَ تَدْمَى. Indeed, the eye cries. وَالْقَلْبُ يَحْزُنُ. And indeed, the heart will be in pain. وَلَا نَقُولُ إِلَّا مَا يَرْضَى رَبُّنَا. But we will never say anything except for things that please Allah. This hadith validates emotional trauma. And unfortunately, the issue is this. Many of us live in families where we don't validate emotional trauma. We don't allow people to feel. So therefore, they reach a breaking point. Tears help you stay sane, man. Crying helps you stay mentally sound, yo. It's a way to let it out. But unfortunately, we have families today that
Parents don't care about tears. Dad don't care about tears. Mom's crying. Dad don't care. Dad's upset. Mom don't care. Kids crying. Why are you crying for? Go back to school. Get your work done. Nah, we have to validate emotions. That way we're allowing people to not break when calamities hit. Not break when calamities hit. Wallahu a'lam, that's just something that came to my heart regarding that question. I don't know if it helps, but may Allah make it easy, inshallah ta'ala. Okay, guys, I think that's enough. It's been 45 minutes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us. There's a lot more here. And next week, I'm going to continue right where we left off from about which of these nafs is better. So join me next week, Wednesday, inshallah ta'ala. By the way, all of these lectures are also on the Qalam podcast. So please check out the Qalam podcast. You have all the lectures of Sheikh Abdul Nasser, Mufti Kamani, Ustad Murphy, and myself, Mufti Ubaidullah, Mufti Muntasir. All of those lectures are up there. Please check them out, inshallah ta'ala. Thank you for spending some time with me. Hopefully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts this from us. And I hope that this was beneficial for you. The last thing I'm going to say is we have to learn how to embrace difficulty. Learn how to embrace difficulty, because resistance is where growth happens. There's no growth without resistance, right? And so just think about that for the next week, and hopefully that will make it easier. MashaAllah. Inshallah, the Seerah Intensive will be great, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair, everyone. I love you all for the sake of Allah. May Allah accept. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.